The Lord be with you.
Please take your seats. You're all very welcome to our church service this morning, the first Sunday before Advent, where we celebrate that Christ is King. And it's so beautiful that this is our first Sunday back in our own church building. There are a few notices to give you. It's business as usual for most of the week. We've got toddlers and BB on Monday with crafters and anchor boys on Tuesday. Not together, though that would be a great combination. On Thursday, our prayer meeting is a little bit later at 7:15. There's also something happening at the same time in Bangor Abbey at 7 p.m., and there's a celebration of Down and Dromore's many and varied links with mission agencies across the world. I'm going to be going to that representing St. Finian's, and if anyone is interested in going, it will be a good evening and an interesting evening. If any of you want to go, it's 7 p.m. at Bangor Abbey. If you want to contact me and have a ride in a car that may or may not get there, you're more than welcome. So that's 7 p.m. on Thursday. On Saturday coming up, we have got a great craft fair from 10:30 to 12:30. There'll be an opportunity to go and browse and buy some beautiful crafts that have been created over the last months. And there'll be a chance to go downstairs in the lower hall for tea and coffee as well. It will be a nice morning. Next Sunday at 9 o'clock, we've got Holy Communion. 11 a.m., we have Connect back in the hall. And we have Holy Communion again at 7 p.m. So as we worship this morning, we welcome and acknowledge the fact that we're back in our church building. And it's great to be here together. But we remember we've been worshiping together constantly in spirit and in truth. And whatever our venue, whatever our shape, we've been worshiping together. And it's lovely, though, to continue back here together. And we'll say proper thanks in due course. But thank you so much to those people who week in, week out, made our services in the hall possible by setting up chairs and just moving bits and pieces around, being very patient during the week and getting into new patterns. So thank you so much to everyone who was involved in that. And it has been lovely to meet you all in a new way as we've had new ways in our weeks. After our service today, we'll go back to the hall for tea and coffee, and everyone is welcome. Now, as we worship this morning, we welcome James Miles. James represents a wonderful charity that you all know very well, Christians Against Poverty. And James will tell us more about their work later on this morning. And I think we would like Cap to know and James to know that through St. Finian's allocations, we have in around £1,800 to go to CAP. And it's so important to know that brothers and sisters in Christ on the ground are supporting brothers and sisters who are finding things difficult in our locality. And we remember CAP and the people that they serve constantly in our prayers. So after all of that, let's continue in our worship. Our worship this morning is our service of morning prayer. And all responses that you need will be on the screens. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. We pray together. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for our psalm. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please take your seats for our first reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Here ends the first reading.
Let's stand and sing together in worship. Hymn number 501, Christ is the World's True Light.
Thank you.
Please take your seats.
The New Testament reading is taken from chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Thanks be to God.
Let's respond to what we have heard in our readings by standing and sharing together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our collect prayer for today, the Sunday before Advent, where we celebrate the kingship of Christ. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupation of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we prepare ourselves to hear what James will be saying to us today, we're going to stand and sing together hymn number 523, "Help Us to Help Each Other, Lord."
Thank you. If you'd like to take your seats. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of meeting in this place. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and it speaks just today. And I do pray, Lord, you just open our hearts to receive that word. You'd open our understanding. And Lord, you just give us a desire for the things that touch your heart. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Good morning. To put this down, as I can't see you all, I'm not very tall. It's lovely to see you, and it's lovely that you're back in your church. I'm sure you're all excited at coming to church this morning to get back into your building. But you know, God's everywhere, and we are the church. So don't actually, I think COVID taught us we don't actually need a building to serve God or to worship him, but it is nice to have somewhere that is familiar to us and somewhere that we can come in and meet together and worship God together. I'd like to thank Jono when he's missing here for inviting me along this Sunday. It's great to be back in this pool. It's a number of years since I've been able to come here and talk about the work of CAP. I'd like to thank Heather Harmon as well. She's my CAP representative here. She keeps the flag flying for me whenever I can't be here to see you. So thank you for that, and thank you for your warm welcome. Some of you might not know what CAP is, Christians Against Poverty. I'm just going to explain very quickly what that is for those who are maybe new and don't. It's really a ministry of the church, which was introduced into the diocese back in 2010 following the crash in the financial markets of 2008. Because there were a lot of people after that crash found themselves in debt. People who maybe before that wouldn't have considered themselves in that category. But because lots of properties were being bought and sold and lots of business deals were being done, whenever the crash happened, then a lot of people who probably traditionally would have been giving to people who were poorer and in need actually found themselves in that situation as well. And the Diocese of Down Under Moor wanted to do something about it. So Harold Miller, who was the bishop at the time, looked around to see how the church could respond. And he came across Christians Against Poverty, which is a Christian charity based in Bradford, set up by John Kirkby. And the rest is history. There was a centre set up then in Willowfield, because all CAP centres are set up in churches. And Willowfield at the time was thinking this along similar lines. And they set up the CAP centre there to enable the diocese to be effective in reaching out to people who find themselves in debt. Now, unfortunately, all these years later, the situation isn't any better. In fact, it's probably 100 times worse. There are still people in debt. So the CAP Centre is still needed, and therefore I'm working away in the background, not just at Christmas, but working away in the background and trying to cover as many and get out and see as many people who are looking for our help and reaching out. Just appointed Linda Campbell, who's sitting about halfway down the church there, to help, because we want to expand the work, and I've only got a limited number of hours in my day. I know we all wish there were more, particularly this time of the year, but unfortunately there aren't, so we've just appointed Linda to come and work alongside me as well. So that's a wee bit off the background. So I cover a whole area from Dundonald out to Carrickduff and into the city centre. So any churches that are in that area, I'm responsible for the CAP services there, and you being one of them, I know you support us very well with your contribution to pay for we have to pay for CAP services, so the contribution that you pay as a church goes to help us, to enable us to run a CAP debt centre in this area. So that's just a little summary of what it is. As I go along, I'll be able to explain a wee bit about how the system actually works. But I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you, what were you doing this time 3 years ago? What were you doing this time three years ago? I don't think any of us have forgotten the effects COVID had on our lives, because I'll tell you what we were doing. We were all sitting at home watching church on television. We'd gone out for an hour a day, and we were probably all wondering how on earth are we going to do Christmas this year, because we've all been told to stay at home. And do you remember the bubbles and all? We were allowed bubbles and all this kind of thing. You know, it was strange times, but we're all reasonably back to normal now. We're able to meet in church, and we're able to do the things that we were able to do, and go shopping and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's not like that for everybody. Did you know that 20% of our clients, those who ring us and look for help, most of them wait for 3 years before they actually ring and ask for help? So there are people who are still sitting at home, who still can't get back to normal, who still don't have enough money to live on, that we all went through 3 years ago. We still have people who are still in that situation. They haven't been able to move on. They haven't been able to change their lives. They haven't been able to get back to normal because of debt. And we're there to help them. Can you imagine if that went on for 3 years, we were still in a situation where you were in debt for 3 years. Every morning when you woke up, that's all you thought about. It was a debt, unmanageable debt, the debt situation. So life for them is still like it was, similar for us 3 years ago with all those restrictions and all those frustrations, yet the added burden of unmanageable debt. Most of our clients have an average of £12,000 worth of unmanageable debt. Now, we're not talking mortgages, and we're not talking a car loan, or we're not talking money you've borrowed for the sofa that you're able to repay. This is money over and above that, that people have borrowed money for one reason or another and are unable to pay it. Most of our clients have an average of £12,000 worth, which they're not going to be able to pay. And CAP have worked out, if they were to start paying that, a lot of them, about 20%, and it would take them 100 years to repay the debt. That's not just their generation or the next. That's about five generations from now. If they didn't ask or seek for help, it would take them 100 years to clear the debt that they've got themselves into. So what CAP does is we actually come in and we can help people. And the good news is that we can get most people debt-free within about 5 years by ringing our helpline. And we can come in and we can help them. We go in and do a budget for them. We have a look at their income. We leave the money to live on. And then whatever's left, we would ring their people they owe money to, all the creditors, and we would offer them an affordable repayment plan rather than one that they want. 33% of our clients attempted or thought about committing suicide. I mean, that's the reality of people's lives out there. I don't know if you've ever been in debt, if you're sitting in church this morning, but 33%, I've been working for CAP for 10 years, and I've had three of my clients have committed suicide. And the main reason for it was because they were in debt. So that's what people are living with outside in this community and beyond. In a recent visit to a client, I noticed the girl had scars on her arms, on both arms. She had scars on her arms. And as she opened up to us and as she talked about us, she was telling us that the main reason for that was her debt, that she couldn't see any way out, and she thought that the world would be better without her. So she was cutting her arms and trying to commit suicide just to end her life. So our input and other support she was receiving has put those thoughts on hold for now. But that was that girl's cry for help. And that was her solution to a big problem. She didn't know CAP could come in and could help her in that way. Another lady went out to see just very recently. She sat crying and shaking in her house as she relayed the reason for her debt was because her husband of 20 years had walked out on her and left her with debt of £18,000. He was very sly and he made her borrow all the money in her name. Whether he'd planned to walk out or not, I don't know. But he left her with £18,000 worth of debt. She now suffers from social anxiety and is unable to leave the house, cut herself off from her family and friends. And even going out shopping is a big thing for her. I'm sure, like me, many of you were out shopping yesterday trying to get your Christmas presents and all in. She can't leave the house. Her 18-year-old daughter has to go out and do her food shopping for her. And it's because of debt and the situation she's got herself into that she's sitting like that. You know, debt is no respecter of persons because clients come from all walks of life, those with good, well-paid jobs and those who aren't managing to live on the very tight benefit system that we have in our society at the moment. Maybe married couples who have children. I think I put it in your magazine, of a family who have seven children who've got themselves into debt basically because he lost his job, and of others with children as well. There's those who are struggling to make ends meet, single fellas, maybe those who have drug addictions or those who've caught up with paramilitary debt. The whole range of people in debt come to us for help. So there's no one CAP that fits all. It could be anybody sitting in this church. You could be next. If I'm back here next year, maybe some of you may well have contacted us to ask for our help, because debt is no respecter of persons, and people can get into debt very quickly and very easily, and we are there to help them. So what can we do, and what should we do? How should we as individuals, as a church, as CAP, respond to the many needs that are out there? What can we learn from this passage about how Jesus responded to a given need, a given crisis, which in this case was feeding of a large crowd? We're told in verse 14 of our passage what made Jesus respond the way he did, which is different to how we might respond. Because it wasn't because there was need. The need was obvious. There were sick people being brought, needed healing, and then there were other people who were needing fed. That one need wasn't his motivation. It wasn't his wealth or his abundance either. He didn't have any money on him, and he certainly didn't have any food with him, and he hadn't arranged a catering van to feed everybody once he'd finished talking. And it wasn't guilt at speaking too long, meaning the crowd missed their evening meal because they could all have left at any time. It wasn't means tested either to see who was the most in need. So if health, wealth and guilt or means testing weren't the motivating factors for Jesus responding the way he did, what was? I'm not sure if you noticed it. It's in verse 14. It said, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. We're told that Jesus' heart went out to them. He felt something for them. He was moved in the inward parts. And that should be the starting point for everything we do as Christians, everything we do as a church. Compassion, which comes from the heart. In a society of Jesus' time, compassion was said to be felt deep in a person's internal organs. In the intestines is what the word meant. So when Jesus saw the crowd, he was moved, not with a general feeling of sadness or pity, but with a deep, gut-wrenching feeling of compassion, which compelled him to do something. You see, when Jesus came to live in this world, he came to enter the pain and suffering of those who suffered most. And those people are still around us today. And we get to meet some of them, but not enough of them, through the work of CAP. People like Dee ran up debts and he had a high-profile job here in Northern Ireland. He ran up debts, but he was dismissed from his job. Relationships with his partner broke down, and with his son and with his family. He wasn't allowed access to his son, and he drowned his sorrows in drugs and alcohol. He ran away to Scotland as a means of escape, but life was no better for him there, where he accumulated more debt, and he returned a broken man. Ended up sofa surfing on his sister's friend's sofa, as he'd nowhere else to stay. Contacted CAP, as he was getting harassed by companies he owed money to, and it was adding to his already considerable anxiety. He said he couldn't afford to repay his debts, and he was at his wit's end, talking about suicide himself. We were able to come in and help him organize his finances and use the surplus to negotiate affordable payments to his creditors. We also put money aside out of his income for savings for those extra little costs that he would have coming up each year, whether it was presents at Christmas or days out with his son. He faithfully paid out the money we asked him to pay each month, and within 3.5 years, he had become debt-free. But not only that, but he didn't realize that part of that money he was paying to CAP, there was a savings element in it. And after 3.5 years, he'd accumulated nearly £1,000 in savings, which we were able to return to him, which he didn't realize he had. He's still on that journey, discovering the amazing love of God and accepting him as his Savior. But we had the privilege of sharing God's love with him through our words and through our actions, motivated by compassion. You see, Jesus' example here is so important, because followers of Jesus, we can allow his example and love to transform us. We must become those who not only notice people's pain and suffering, but who have deep, stirring compassion for them. What motivates us to do anything? To seek out and help those who are in need. For Jesus, it was compassion. For CAP, it's exactly the same. It's actually one of our core values. Compassion is one of the things we build our ministry on. It's one of the things we are about. It's one of the things that motivates us to go. It's one of the things that motivates me to go into people's homes who've rung and ask for help, not to judge them, but to help them. Some of you may have experienced the pain of kidney stones, maybe gallstones, or tummy ache. If you have, no doubt you took whatever action you needed to get rid of the pain, whatever painkillers are available. Perhaps this morning you took something to get you through the day. Yet I wonder if we're happy to live with the pain of compassion, because action is the only effective cure for compassion. Jesus did something immediately because he had compassion. He was compelled to do something. We should not be easily ones who walk away from people who are suffering, people who are in great pain or poverty or desperate need. Or maybe we are. Maybe we do. Because sometimes we choose to suppress the feelings so that we don't feel any obligation to act. We convince ourselves that it's someone else's problem. Someone else will deal with it, which eases our own discomfort. But let's get back to the passage. What did Jesus do? When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he hid from them. No, he didn't. He ignored them. No, he didn't. He chased them away. No, he didn't. Remember, Jesus had just heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had just had his head decapitated and had just died. So he had his own pain and his own emotions to deal with. Yet within the context of that, he was able to reach out. We're told he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. He did something. And note that both Jesus and disciples felt compassion for the crowd. We read in verse 15, "Now and it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.'" You see, the disciples, they had their own response to the problem. Send them away. That was their response to the compassion they felt for the people. But was it the right response? Send them away to sort themselves out. It's not our problem. We've given them what they came here for, and at our own personal sacrifice. So we feel justified in sending them away now to fend for themselves. But Jesus is always about the more, the extra mile, the self-sacrifice, the compassion. And unlike us and his disciples, he never stops giving. Because compassion always wants to give more. It always wants to do more. And note that Jesus' compassion moved him to do something immediately. He didn't stop to ask who were the righteous and who were not. Who did he know and who were the strangers? Who deserved it and who didn't? Who would be grateful and who wouldn't even say thank you? Who were the Jews and who were the Gentiles? Because Jesus had compassion on them all, and he went about healing and then feeding them. Because Jesus' compassion always resulted in action. Theologian Col A.W. Tozer said, "It's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. It's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it." And I often get asked by clients, "Why do you do this? We offer our services free. We go out and we have three visits, finding out their debt situation, and then helping them do a budget and then helping them live within that budget as well. And then we take whatever's left from the money that we leave them and we negotiate with their creditors, take the burden of that off, and we do it free. We offer them a party at Christmas. We offer them things for their birthday. We bring them gifts. We top up their gas and electricity, all for free. Why do we do it?" They ask, why do you do this? Why do you do this for nothing?" And I often reply, "If Jesus was here, it's what he would be doing, and we are Jesus' representatives." And it opens up opportunities for us to share the gospel. Do you know Jesus spent more time in the marketplace than he did in the synagogue? And it was there that he met people. He met their needs. He spoke to them and he helped them in their situations. One of the services we provide for clients is a food parcel, and you know all about that because up until COVID, you very kindly did our food parcels for CAP. And thank you for that. Thank you for Heather organizing that. I know I spoiled her Christmas by not doing it this year, but things have changed in the world and in CAP clients' lives as well. It's becoming more and more common that I bring food parcels out, not just at Christmas, but actually bring them out to people's homes as I'm going out on a first visit. 47% of our clients said to go without meals on at least a weekly basis. Nearly half of them are skipping meals because they can't afford to feed themselves, or more likely, they can't afford electricity to heat up the food that has been given to them. Shocking rise in the price of food, heat, and electricity are crippling people in our community. More and more debt clients have been told that even if they had no debt, they don't have enough money coming into the house to live on. And this has a new name. It's called deficit budgeting. Did you know there are more food banks in the UK than McDonald's? There's 1,300 McDonald's in the UK, and there's at least 2,500 food banks. And that's a ridiculous, startling statistic when we think how many McDonald's there are. But there are actually over 2,500 food banks in the UK. When speaking to clients about how we can help them through Christmas this year, the resounding message was light, heat, toys for the children, winter clothes, and those little extra items, which is why this year I've asked not for food, but for those kinds of things, vouchers for toy shops and heating vouchers and things that we can just buy them some little extras that we all enjoy at Christmas time. Because people are now living day to day. They're wondering where the money's going to come from to heat their homes or to turn the lights on. So that's why I've asked you to provide these this year instead of food. They will still get some food, but say a lot of them, they don't want tins or dried food because they're not using their cookers or their ovens anymore because of the amount of electricity that it's using. So thank you for those who have already contributed vouchers and things for that. And if you want to continue to contribute, if you give them to Heather Harmon, I'm sure she will get them to me, and I'll make sure that they get to the clients that we're working with. You know, CAP isn't just about getting people out of debt. We want to prevent them getting into debt as well. So we run money management courses and life skills courses and things that will help people not get into debt. So where does that leave us? The disciples confused empathy with compassion. Because empathy feels, compassion acts. No doubt the disciples were feeling hungry as well, as they'd been there all day too. Their response wasn't to instruct Jesus to send the crowds away to the villages to buy food. Jesus counters this with the challenge for the disciples to feed the crowd. They produce 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then Jesus takes control. Theologian Emil Brunner made a shrewd observation in this. He said, in the disciples' hands, 5 loaves and 2 fish are not much. But there are other hands here, Jesus' hands. If Jesus can touch a leper and make him whole, perhaps he can make something of this meager food supply. The disciples' mouths is not great. They've added 5 and 2 and got 7. But they need to learn to count to 8. They need to include Jesus in their calculation. See, the 12 baskets left over demonstrates the fact that when we willingly give what we have to God, he will multiply it. If we hold on to what we have, only we will receive the benefit, which is contrary to our calling as disciples. When we hold on to what we have and only give to those we want to give to, it doesn't have the same impact and is contrary to what God expects of us. So when we allow God to distribute what we have by handing it all over to him, many more are fed, and many, many more can benefit. People like Tina, who sent a message back to say, without CAP, I would not be here. Without CAP, I would not be here. They saved my life with their support, with their kindness, and with their care. I'm going to show you a little video just before I finish, which I hope is going to work. A lady called Edith, who was part of our Bangor Debt Centre, and there's a little video here, just 3 or 4 minutes, just to show a wee bit about her life and her testimony about how CAP helped her. So hopefully it'll work.
Life was in a very dark place. I had to choose between putting heating on or putting the electricity on, whether I would eat or whether I would put petrol in the car. I didn't open letters, I didn't answer phone calls. It was a place that I never wanted to see anybody in because it was torture. I got into debt by a series of bad choices. I got sucked into the, you know, a consolidation loan, but it just really got me into a bigger mess. I received a letter threatening to take me to court for an unpaid bill, and I got scared. I took myself off to bed, and I got under the covers, pulled them up over my head, and thought, this is it. I couldn't stop the crying. I just wanted to end my life, because it was a hell. And that's just a scary place to be. Scary, scary place to be. So a couple of weeks went past and I rang the number, and I have to say I haven't looked back since. The first visit was quite nerve-wracking. Didn't really know what to expect. Again, there was no judgment made. There was no, why have you done this? Look at the mess you're in. There was nothing like that. They explained what the process would be. And as I say, they took all my information on board and went away with it. I first felt hope when I could see the amount that I owed to people getting smaller. I felt amazing. It felt achievable that I could do this. And then I got the phone call from CAP to say, we're pleased to tell you that, you know, you're now debt free. I cried. It was amazing. It was the best feeling I've ever had. Just to hear somebody say, you are no longer in debt. You owe nobody anything. Was an amazing feeling. Life now, since I became debt-free, it's chalk and cheese. Chalk and cheese. I now live my life. I don't exist in my life anymore. I live my life. I enjoy my life. I make the most of my life. Happiness is a word that I never thought I would fully understand and fully get to grips with what it actually meant. But now I do. Now I know what true happiness is.
So that's Edith's story. This is very typical of CAP clients who work with us well and who come out the other end. She's now a member of her church, and she became a Christian through the work of CAP as well, which is amazing. So I'm not sure if God's been speaking to you this morning, if you need an opportunity to respond to compassion. And I want to offer you a few opportunities that you can respond to it. There's some little response cards. I think they should be at the end of each of the pew. If you want to fill one of those out and give them back to me, then I certainly will follow it up. You maybe can pray for us. I send a prayer letter out about every 2 or 3 months. It's by email. So if you feel that you can't maybe give time in other ways, perhaps you could pray for the work of CAP. And if you give me your email address, I'll add you to our prayer list. You also might want to give, if you can give some money maybe during or monthly, whatever. There are little standing order forms at the back there. If you want to give a donation today, I've got some envelopes if you want to gift aid them as well. And there's a QR code on that as well if you maybe just want to give a one-off gift. To say the services have to be paid for. and we want to continue to provide those services as well. Maybe you'd like to volunteer. You talked about, or you heard me talking about going out to people's houses. Every time I go out, I bring a befriender with me. If it's a female I'm going to see, it's a female I bring with me. If it's a male, then it's a male I bring with me. And your job would be just to befriend them, just to help people just get over the shame and the difficulties and the anxiety of that. If you're a friendly person, you have a bit of time on your hands, it might be just a matter of sending them a text, bring them out for coffee, but also inviting them to church. I'd love to be feeding people into your church here. And if I had befrienders to come out with me, this could be the place, could be their new spiritual home. You've loads going on here. And a lot of people feel isolated. There's 56% of our clients feel isolated. 56, more than half feel isolated. They don't know where to turn. They've cut off from their friends, maybe their family as well. And it would be lovely if some of you wanted to come out on visits with me. To people who live in this area, of which I have many, then I could be feeding them into this church, and they could benefit from all the benefits you have as well. I've also left some cards here, which has our helpline number on it. So if you want to take one or two of those away, you may well find somebody this week who, when you're chatting to them, perhaps could do with our help. And if you just want to hand that to them and ring the helpline number, then if they live in this area, I'll come out and see them, and I'll get in touch with them, and we'll be able to do that. You might also notice Louis the Lion's back at there. There's a basket full of little Louis the Lions. One of the best ways people have of hearing about CAP is through word of mouth. About 90% of our clients hear of CAP through word of mouth. So what I've done, I've got these little lions made. They're free. There's a little CAP logo on them. So if you go to work or anything, I want you to set it on your desk. And anybody says, "What's that?" I want you to tell them what it is and try and encourage them to contact CAP. There's a couple of little tags on it. One of them is the helpline number. And one of them is a little QR code if they want to give towards CAP. But I want you to talk about it, because the more you talk about CAP, the more people hear about it, the more referrals, the more we can help them, and the more we can help grow your church. If you see CAP as an outreach ministry of your church, that would be great. Now, I'm also running two competitions, and with this I'm going to end. One of them is, if you're going away somewhere far, if you take a photograph of him wherever you are and send it to me, whoever's takes them the furthest away from Belfast will get a prize, okay? If you're not going anywhere far, there's another competition running. If you take a photograph of them somewhere unusual, send me the photograph, then you'll also get a prize as well. Now, I have 200 of these. What's in the basket is all I have left. So once they're all done, that's the competition over. So I'm going to run it probably till the end of the year. So take one of those away with you. They are free, but if you want to pay for them, there's a box there as well. As I know some people don't like taking free stuff. But do talk about CAP. Word of mouth is the best way for people to hear about it. And I'll be over in the hall for a cup of tea afterwards. If you want to take those over with you or chat to me or Linda about anything, then please do. So thank you for your time. Don't let this moment pass. If God's been speaking to you this morning, remember Jesus responded to compassion. He responded immediately and things happened. He didn't press it down, or he didn't walk away from it. He responded, and that's our responsibility as well, to respond to God when he speaks and say, "If you want to speak to me afterwards, I'll be around." So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the work of CAP. We thank you for the vision of John Kirkby when he set it up. And we thank you, God, for the many hundreds of people every year who go debt-free because of the work of CAP. And Lord, I just pray for anybody in this church this morning who's maybe struggling under the weight of debt, Lord, that you would just help them, Lord, to see that it's not unsurmountable, that there is a solution, and that CAP can come in and help them. And Lord, I do pray for each of us, Lord, during this Christmas time when we're busy buying and getting those we know and those we love, Lord, just help us to pause and think about those who don't have, for those who struggle, Lord, for those for whom Christmas will be a real difficult time. I just pray, Lord, that whatever you've been speaking to us about this morning, that you'd help us respond. And you'll make us, Lord, those who look out for others, who serve you, hand over all we've got to you, because it's only as we hand it over can you use it to bless others and to bless us. So just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, James. Let's continue our time of prayer together as we speak to Christ, our King of Compassion. And our responses in our prayers today will be, King of Compassion, hear our prayer. So when you hear the words, King of Compassion, let's respond together, hear our prayer. Let's pray. We pray today for the church across the globe. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the sun will never set on your church, but we pray that we will be a people of compassion, a people of the light, a people who point the lost to you and the isolated to you, and a people who acknowledge that we too are in need of you. Forgive us as a church for times when we have not acted as you would have us act. And please let all in your church look to Christ, your Son, our head. King of Compassion, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the terrible and ongoing situation in Israel and Gaza. There have been some families reunited in the last days, but there is no talk of an end to violence. Regardless of politics and borders, the kidnapping and killing of men, women, and children to create fear or to retaliate is an offense against your call to love, an offense against humanity made in your image. We pray for peace in this region. King of Compassion, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this island of Ireland, north and south. We pray for the victims of the most shocking and horrific attack upon children and those caring for them in Dublin. And we ask that you bring calm to everyone involved and peace to everyone involved, and calm to those who respond in anger. King of Compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for the work of CAP that we have heard about this morning. We pray for CAP as they advise those who are crippled by debt, as they help people find employment, as they help people budget effectively, and as they give dignity to those whom you love that have gotten into difficulties. Help CAP as they challenge the people and systems that would prey upon the most financially vulnerable. Heavenly Father, we take a moment to think especially of those who are at the edge of despair and those who have gone past the edge of despair. We remember those who life has been too hard for them. Life can be hard. Please be with those who are hurting and their families and those who care for them. King of Compassion, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, the vulnerable, and the frightened and the lonely in this parish. And we take another quiet moment to bring to you in our hearts those that we know are in need of prayer. King of Compassion, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this church we have an active Mother's Union. Thank you for Mother's Union across the whole island. They have begun 16 days of activism when they raise awareness of the way that people can be treated in their own homes. We thank you for the awareness they bring of gender-based violence and domestic violence. Be with those who are afraid in their own homes and in their own family relationships. Help your church come alongside such people. Help your church speak on behalf of such people. And help this place, this parish, this congregation be a safe space for such people. King of compassion, hear our prayer. We gather these and our private prayers together using that prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remember this morning that CAP wouldn't do what they are doing if they didn't believe that there was hope. We wouldn't be meeting together if we didn't know that the difficulties in life do have an end, and their end is in Christ our King, who lived a life of compassion, who died for us and lives again now forever. And so wherever we find ourselves, wherever we find that life takes us, we need never be alone. And let's remember that as we stand and sing together hymn number 499, When I Needed a Neighbor. Thank you so much for joining us in our time of worship this morning. It's been lovely to be with you. It's been lovely to be with you again in this space. And for those of you who are joining us online, please know that you're always with us in spirit as we worship together. May I remind you that next week we have services here in the church. And at 7 p.m., it will be our Advent Carol service. And that will be an absolutely lovely event. So please do come and join us. And can I remind you that in a few minutes, we'll be having tea and coffee in the hall. Someone has already put the kettle on. Mine is a coffee with just a splash of milk, please, and a nice biscuit. So please, let's get together and enjoy one another's company. Let's close our service with a prayer of blessing. And thank you so much to James for joining us this morning and sharing what's so much on his heart and that it can be on our hearts, the work of CAP. Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. The peace of our compassionate God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all and those whom you love, now and forevermore. Let's close our service by singing to our King, hymn number 263, omitting verses 2 and 3. Crown him with many crowns.